Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name's Murray Shanks. I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church on the mid-north coast of New South Wales in Australia. Let's open the Word of God to James chapter 2. Chapter 2 verse 1 says, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" You know, in 2016, as Louise and I were considering a ministry call with a previous church, we decided to go along to one of the services just to see what it was like. Our names hadn't been released to the church yet. We had had emails going backwards and forth and some phone conversations, but for the majority of the congregation, we were completely unknown to them. As we walked from our car to the building, a couple of people said hi, but didn't really engage us in conversation. We quickly discovered that they were actually leading the service, so I guess they were pretty busy as the service was just about to start. Anyway, after a couple of songs, the worship leader did the classic, "Why don't you turn around and greet the people around you" thing. You know, we were sitting in the very back row, so we couldn't turn around. The people in front of us leant forward to speak to their friends in front of them, and the young lady sitting next to me, who we later got to know very well, I gave her heaps about this, sat up and promptly turned her back to us and then stayed like that. So we were left sitting there in awkward silence as everyone else in the place chatted amongst themselves for a few moments. Following the service, we eventually walked out without a single person speaking to us. To his credit, the interim pastor did chase after us and caught us as we got to our car. Louise and I had a good-hearted, you know, laugh about it afterwards. We know what it's like in church. We grew up going to church every week. We know how easily we get caught up in our own conversations, our own existing relationships, and we know how easily this kind of thing happens. It really wasn't that big a deal for us as solid, secure Christians, but for someone else, maybe for someone who had been thinking about going to church for a long time, if this had been their first experience after tentatively dipping their toe in, it would have been pretty awful. You know, sometime later, after my name was brought to a church meeting and they decided to extend a call, which we accepted, there was a special induction service. I cannot tell you how different things were for us on that Sunday. Suddenly people who had completely ignored us a couple of months earlier, were queuing up to shake my hand, to welcome us and to make themselves known to us. It could not have been more different. Have you ever seen on TV or YouTube those social experiments that look at the different ways people are treated based on their appearance? For instance, two people go into the same shop. One is nicely dressed, she's well-spoken and attractive. The other is shabbily dressed and her hair looks like it needs a wash. They both ask for the same product, and the different responses they get from the same shop assistant are quite amazing. The attractive, well-dressed woman is helped by the assistant, walked to find the product, served with a smile. The other woman's virtually ignored. Or two men with crutches collapse in a public area. I actually found this video very distressing to watch, I have to say. One is dressed in a suit. The other looks like a homeless person. He's carrying a sleeping bag and a couple of other small bags whilst also trying to use crutches. It's the same man. It's just at one point he's dressed in a suit, at the other point he's dressed as a homeless guy. People rush to help the man in the suit and walk by the other, literally turning away from him as he lies on the pavement amidst a tangle of legs, crutches, bags. What I found interesting about the video was that the only person who helped the homeless man was another homeless man sitting begging for change. Another one involved two women trying to hail a cab. One has black skin, the other has white skin. They're wearing exactly the same clothing. However, the white woman is always able to get a cab more quickly than the black woman. Some years ago, I read a story about a church that called a new pastor. In some ways, it was very similar to the experience that Louise and I had had. On the day of his induction service, with the knowledge of the deacons, he dressed up as another homeless guy. He had professionally prepared long hair and a long grey unkempt beard. He poured beer over his shabby clothes and filled a trolley with a whole lot of junk. He arrived at the service and was basically ignored. When he went and sat in the front row, people shook their heads in disgust. Eventually, someone actually asked him to sit further back, for they were having a very important service today, for a new pastor was to be inducted. Well, you can imagine the shockwave that ran through the congregation when the time came to introduce the new pastor, and they discovered that he was the very man they had treated with such contempt. You know, as I think about these stories, I wonder about us as a church. I wonder about myself. Do I treat people differently because of their outward appearance? Am I more friendly to the good-looking, well-dressed, well-spoken people? For that matter, am I less friendly to those people? Do I respond to people better if they have a similar cultural background to myself? Do we have deep-seated attitudes about people who are of a different race or on, you know, a different path to us or a different faith to us? You know, as committed followers of Jesus, we have far more in common with a devout Muslim person than we do with an everyday pagan Aussie who has no regard for God, any notion of spiritual realities. It's good to remember that. I must say, I'm just so proud of the fact that over the past 4.5 years, I've never really observed that here at Foster Baptist. You're a very loving and accepting lot, which is wonderful. We need to keep on being careful that we stay like that as more and more people come into our fellowship. Having said that, I think we must also concede that there is a natural tendency in us all to slip into prejudice and tribalism. Over the past month or so, as we've spent time in the book of James, we've discovered that these first century Christians were struggling with the same kind of problems that we're faced with today. It seems that, just like us, they struggle with prejudice or showing favoritism or treating people differently because of their outward appearance. Let's have another look at what James has to say about this. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So James is speaking to believers, to the church, and he gives an example. Say someone comes into your gathering, your church meeting, and they're well-dressed. So say, for example, this happened, he says. It's one of those cryptic accusations, isn't it? When our four kids were little, Louise had this nice way of getting her point across to all of them without naming and shaming any one individual. She'd say something calmly and quietly, almost matter-of-factly to me at the dinner table. For instance, if I asked her how her day had been, she'd say, "Yes, a really good day." It wasn't like, say, one of the kids left an empty toilet roll on the floor of the bathroom or something. I mean, if that had happened, it would have just ruined my day. But no, a really good day, no empty toilet rolls left on the floor, thankfully. There'd be a bit of uncomfortable squirming. The conversation would continue on, and then one of them would quietly just leave the table, pick up the empty toilet roll they'd left there, pop it in the bin and return to the table. Louise would then give them a quick little side eye with raised eyebrow as they continued their meal. James says, say, for example, this happened. And we get the sense that his listeners are squirming because they know that what he is describing has actually happened. Scholars say that the Greek indicates that James may well have actually witnessed this happening. If we look a little bit more closely at what James says about the issue of prejudice, we discover that he doesn't just say, don't do it. It's weightier than that. When it happened to Louise and I, we just laughed it off. But it's actually not a laughing matter. He explains in some detail why this kind of behaviour has no place in the family of God. But first, there's a challenge. First, one of the New Living Translation says, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ when you favour some people over others? James doesn't pull any punches, does he? He actually starts by questioning their salvation. He says, if you behave like this, then the question must be asked whether or not you're actually a Christian. I mean, honestly, guys, how can you claim to be Christians when you treat people this way? There is absolutely no place for prejudice, for discrimination, for favouritism, not in God's family, for we are called to be like Jesus. And of course, if you examine the life of Christ, the example he set, how he lived, how he behaved, the people he hung out with, the things he taught, well, it confirms what James says. Remember that James grew up with Jesus. He was the Lord's brother. Favoritism, discrimination, prejudice, they're not compatible with the life of a follower of Jesus. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, this is John 13, 35, he says, by this will all people know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This begs the confronting question, does the way you treat other people declare that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? That's a tough question, isn't it? Does the way that I treat other people declare that I am a follower of Jesus Christ? That is a tough question that challenges us about true empathy. In the 1960s in America, segregation of white and black people was still a part of life. Blacks and whites didn't mix in schools, in churches, in restaurants, or public places. There was this journalist named John Howard Griffin. Now, John wanted to understand what it was like to be a black man. He was a white man, but he wanted to understand what it was like to be a black man. He had such amazing empathy already, but he wanted to truly enter into the suffering of this persecuted people group, his own brothers and sisters within his own country, within his own culture. I mean, quite outrageously, he decided to undergo temporary treatment by a dermatologist to make his skin black. For the next 6 weeks, he lived and travelled in the Deep South as a black man. He then wrote about his experience in a book which became an international bestseller called Black Like Me. For a number of reasons, the impact of that book was quite simply profound, mainly because it forced white people to put themselves into the shoes of black people and to really think about what life was like for a black person living in the 60s in America. I've said to you many times that God always wants the very best for us. His will is always for our good. As followers of Jesus, this is what we too must be like. If we seek to live our life as Jesus would live our life, our will must always be for the good of others, for that is how Jesus would be toward others. Now, this means continually asking ourselves, what is it like to be in their position? So much harder to show prejudice when you're asking that question. What must it be like for that person? Someone who's following Jesus will always put the good of the other person before their own good. For Jesus taught us to be selflessly good, kind, and gentle. I say selflessly because I think this is very much at the core of what is happening here. We find it easier to love and be kind to people where there's some benefit or possibility of benefit in it for us. In direct contrast to this, James says that hearts, thoughts, words, and actions that show prejudice, favoritism, and discrimination actually flow directly from evil motives. They don't put the good of the other person first, and they're not guided and motivated by a desire to be like Jesus. Have a look at verses 3 and 4. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes, have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Can I suggest a little social experiment that you might like to do yourself across this coming week? When you come into contact with people, as you definitely will at your local cafe or work or at the shops, wherever, consciously make an effort to ask yourself, what must life be like for this person? And then ask yourself, how would Jesus treat this person? How would Jesus speak to him or her? How would Jesus show love and grace to this person? And as you do that, just take note of what that does to your attitude toward that person. Our hearts, our thoughts, our motives, our actions should always be filled with grace and love and acceptance. Anything else is just plain evil, and it does not reflect who we are as followers of Jesus and children of God. Let's pray together. Lord, today we come to you once again challenged deeply by your word. We pray that you would open our eyes to see others as you see them. Let us see them. Let us see what life is like for them in this very moment when we are with them. And as we do that, Lord, we ask that you would help us to love them as you love them. Help us to show grace and compassion to each other, not just here amongst our brothers and sisters, but with all people wherever and whenever we meet them. I ask that you would bless your people here today. Amen.